bless you all this morning. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's just all stand, and we're going to turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the book of Proverbs first. We're going to go to two verses, just two single verses today. The first one is Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Amen. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And then we're going to turn over in the New Testament to James, the book of James, chapter 4. It's right after Hebrews, James 4, right before Peter. James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for, Lord, just the reading of your word. We pray that you'd, Lord, open it up to us today. Lord, we love you and we humble our hearts to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you as you take your seats this morning. I've got a bit of an odd title this morning. The Lord laid on my heart a few days ago after my mom. So I'm going to title angles. Like angles in geometry, not angels. Amen. I have several quotes and several pictures this morning. I made a slideshow for us to follow along, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. You can leave that up, though. That's fine. We're going to look at angles and perspectives this morning. Perspectives are, in the most basic sense, a point of view. And I want to type it this morning to our opening scriptures in with humility and with wisdom. And that's why I chose those two verses to open with. I believe that perspective can lead to wisdom in a lot of situations. Amen. Oftentimes, if we can go into a situation or a question that we have in our hearts with humility, God is able to show you the right angle and give you understanding on that issue.
Amen.
And, we receive perspective from many different sources. I believe it's important to reach out to others that you trust for perspective. Because many times they might see things at a different angle or at a different viewpoint to give you a clearer picture of what's going on, to give you a more clear understanding. And that's in counsel in our friends and people that we trust that hopefully have an experience with God. Amen. But even more importantly, when you find yourself in a situation that you can't seem to grasp and you don't know what to do, God always knows best, because he sees every angle. Amen. So many times I believe that God is willing to give us insight to his view, but it does require the correct approach. And we've got to be willing to take it however it comes. Amen. When we were speaking last Sunday, we spoke on Josiah and his approach to God and how he humbled himself. And just at the humility of his approach, God held back cursing the entire kingdom throughout his whole reign as a king. Amen. So let's go to the next slide, brother. I'll just have you control it. I don't know how this thing even works. It looks like it's on, so we'll try. So I'm going to have you follow me through this quote. This comes from Expectation 1958, where my inspiration had come for this morning. He says, "Once there was a young musician who had trained in all the music that he knowed how to be trained in, for he wanted to master in it. And there was a great concert, and there was a young fellow was to play, and this young fellow was to play. After he got through with his master playing, oh, he was grand, and all the people began to stand to their feet and applaud the young man with clapping their hands and screaming and whistling. But they noticed the young man did not even notice any of that." Let me see if I can. It works. Awesome. "He kept his eyes looking up, and the more they tried to attract his attention by their screams and applauding, he looked steadfast towards the top of the balcony, and the audience was amazed to see him not accepting or bowing their applauding. And they turned to see, and up in the balcony was the old master teacher. He was looking up to see what the old master said and not paying attention to what the people was around him saying, if we could only do the same, if we could look up and see what the master is saying and not notice what the people are saying. Amen. John Sproul, who was healed with a throat that could not speak, which alarmed the nation through the magazines, I was talking to him some time ago, and he said, I was in Paris, and I was taking the tour around, seeing the religious sites and so forth, and I came into this certain garden, and he said, there was a statue of Christ, and said, I was looking at it, and said, my wife was looking at it, and we were criticizing it in our hearts, because it didn't have any really look to it that would look like the sufferings of Christ. Yeah. Amen. Let me just follow along on here. Didn't have any look of it that would be like the sufferings of Christ. And said, the guide came to me and he said, sir, you're probably doing just like all the rest of the tourists do when they come here. You're wondering why the sculpture ever made the statue like that. He said, yes, sir, I was. He said, come here just a moment. He said, you see, there is a kneeling rail beneath the statue. Said, yes, sir. Said, that's an altar. Said, now you come here and get down on your knees. And said, now look up. And when he looked up, he said his heart almost failed him, for the sufferings of Christ was seen in the sculptor's work. And he said, sir, do you see the sculptor had in mind that Christ is to be knelt and looked up to? Amen. That's the way he made it. Not to stand off, you'll criticize, but if you'll get down and you'll look up to it, then you'll see the full purpose. My goodness. And before you criticize the Holy Spirit and God's word, it wasn't made to be criticized, neither was the Holy Spirit. Kneel on your knees and look up to it, and you'll think differently. And God bless you, shall we pray. And so he says, we can just take that down for just a few minutes. I'll have you go to the next slide here in just a few minutes. They were looking at this sculpture, and they began to almost be critical of it. You know, they were Christians, and yet they saw how it almost seemed that they were doing some kind of an injustice to the cross of their Lord. But the moment that they changed their viewpoint, the moment they got on their knees and looked up, they saw the sculpture from a whole new angle, amen? And that's the only way the artist meant people to view the work of art. It must have been, I believe, that the designer knew that only those who had experienced the love of the man on that cross would be able to respect and appreciate it the way that it was meant to be appreciated, in the angle in which it was meant to be appreciated. Amen. So he crafted it in a way, the designer, the sculptor, crafted it in a way that only those who were willing to go at the foot of that cross and get on their knees and look up were able to see the whole picture. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And you know, that just types everything in our Christian experience. Yeah. Having the right approach, having the right attitude. You know, and he told the disciples, I wanted to catch this verse, if you want to go to it for me, brother, Matthew 10 and verse 10. He told the disciples, these things aren't given to them to understand, but to you it is given. Amen. Matthew 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And then in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And then in verse 16, he comes and says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye have heard and have not heard them. And I believe that the same thing applies today. Many people can read the same word that we read and can read the same things that we read and hear the same things that we hear, but they don't have the right angle on it. Amen. They don't have the revelation because it wasn't given to them to see. Amen. It wasn't given to them to hear. And you see the value, the exponential value at looking at something from the correct angle. You know, even when it requires sometimes a conscious effort to go out of your way to do it. The sculptor, when he created that sculpture of Christ, he wanted to make sure that when people looked at this sculpture, that they would see the fullness of what Christ had done for them and saw how God had suffered and died. But anybody that would just pass by, anybody that just reads the word, just sees it, and they don't see the fullness of what God really did for them. Amen. Until you have that experience where you get on your knees, amen, and you look up to Christ and you see him at a different viewpoint, you see him at a different angle. At that point, you're able to catch the revelation of what Jesus really did for us, what he did for you personally, not what he did for them, but what he did for you. And that's, I just thought that scripture, or that that story Brother Branham tells of that man, just typed so closely to what it is. So it's so important for us to make sure that we have the right viewpoint, you know, on our Christian walk. But in every situation that we face, this could go from the biggest decisions you make to the smallest decisions you make, because God is in all of it, amen. He's in every step that you're taking. He's in every move you're making, amen. So sometimes it just requires us to take a look from a different angle, take a look from a different perspective, amen. You know, Brother Branham had this dilemma he was facing one day discussing Jesus as the judge, and he was talking about the supernatural cloud there in Arizona that was captured in 1963. And you know, he tells this full story there in Spiritual Food in Due Season. We're just going to catch part of it this morning, but I have it if you want me to send it to you. He couldn't make out Jesus standing there with white hair as wool. He just couldn't quite understand it. So he began calling his friends that were theologians and doctors of divinity in the scripture, and they gave him some explanation of the thing, you know. But the explanation that they gave him, it just didn't resonate with Brother Branham. And so he brought it before God. I don't think I have this in the slide, so we're just going to go through this. Brother Branham says, I got in the room there, and I got to speaking to God, and I run my accordance to take it back to Daniel, where it said, and he came in the Ancient of Days, whose hair was white as wool. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. And I got the responsibility. Now, that was before, and remember, before the seven seals was open, about a year or more, before I was praying there, Lord, what was it? And I looked standing before me, and there stood a man, and he was a judge, and he had a white wig on. The old judges of ancient days used to wear a white wig to show that he was supreme authority. And then when I seen Jesus with the white wig, I said, it only vindicates the truth that we know, that he is the supreme authority. God witnessed the same thing on Mount Transfiguration and said, this is my beloved son, hear him, the supreme authority. Moving down a little bit further, he begins talking about this cloud. And he says, now that, then when that went up, the big observatories from way down in California, plumb down in Mexico, over Tucson, everywhere, taking the picture of it, it was a mysterious sight. Brother Soffman here, standing right back there, and I and Brother Gene Norman standing right there present when it went up. They took the picture. Still, they don't know what about it. Here's some time ago, everybody saying, looky here, looks like this, and them angels' wings, and how they folded in there. And this next part is what I wanted to get to this morning. If you catch the cloud, and we're all familiar with this, and we all know where I'm going with this, but one day, he says, one day turning it to the right, looking, there was Jesus Christ as perfect as Hoffman ever drawed him. It was standing there with a white wig on, looking back towards the earth, showing that he is supreme authority. The heavens declared it. The Bible declares it. The message declares it. All the same, supreme authority with the white wig on. You see his black beard under. Many of you have seen the picture. We got it right back there. Just turn it to the right sideways and look at it. There he is, just as perfect as it was. If it had been photographed of him, they were looking at it from the wrong angle. You've got to look in the right angle. Amen. And we see that today. There's many people, you know, who still look at this picture, and they could see it in this angle, but they don't have the revelation of it, so they try to explain it away. But once you have eyes to see, you can't unsee it. Amen. You can't look at that and say anything other than that's Christ. Amen. And the only way, he says, that God can reveal, only God can reveal which is the right angle. You turn it to the right and look at it. There he is, just as perfect as if it had been photographed up there. And then he said, my house has never been without that picture. So you've got to look, you've got to have what he says, you've got to have the Lord to have you show you to look at it from the right angle. Amen. And that angle we were talking about, it's perspective, and it can be tied to revelation. If you looked at that cloud with the wrong perspective or the wrong angle, you might not, and you people still might not be able to see, amen, what it is and what it means. But if you're willing to do what that couple did in the story and get down on your knees and look up, amen, anybody that wants to follow Christ in the fullness of the word, it doesn't matter where you are in life, if you're willing to see something, amen, and I'm talking about the message of the hour, if you're willing to humble yourselves enough to see that God can still speak in this final day to you and look up and see, God can show you the revelation of that. God can show you the right angle at which you need to look at that thing, amen. And I believe it was like I said, the sculptor had a purpose in making it that way. Go to the next slide, brother. I think Brother Benham says that just puts me in mind of a Greek artist I seen one time in an ancient cathedral showing what Adam and Eve looked like. They looked like beasts or something, and that's what the carnal mind can perceive of some spiritual thing. I think Adam was the most handsome man that ever lived, and Eve was a perfect woman in every way. And now carnal minds wrap up the thing in their own ideas, and then God sends down and unfolds the thing by his power. Amen. Your carnal mind, our human mind, can perceive something a certain way. We get some idea of how something should be. We get some idea of how we need to act. We get some idea, and we can even think that it's right, be sincere in thinking that it's right, and it seems like it is right, but until God shows you that it's the right thing, until he opens up his word to you, amen, and he gives you his revealing power, you've got to take all the carnal mind and your own perception out of the thing, amen, because carnal minds and perceptions that you have will never match up to what God can see, amen. I think that there's a great value in having, we talked about this a minute ago, having another person's perspective on a subject, you know, because we see things differently, you know, we're crafted differently, amen? Now you can see that in the Gospels. You see the same story told several times, and it will have the same characteristics and the same idea and the same validity to it, but because God chose different men to write it, some things stand out to this man that didn't maybe stand out to this man, amen? Because there was a different angle that they were looking at it from, amen? And that's what we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it says bear one another's burdens with each other. So we counsel with each other, and we say, well, this is what I'm going through. And, you know, if you approach it from the right angle and you allow your brother to be a help in your life and you show him what you're going through, maybe he can provide another perspective, another angle, another viewpoint to give you insight on how to handle that kind of situation. Amen. I think this is also a really important concept when it comes to prayer. If you go to the next slide, I think Brother Branham says this in Questions and Answers. He says, How do you feel is best, the best way to find the Lord? How do you feel it's the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? Now, I don't believe, let me see if I can get the can get continuity on it. How do you feel is the best way? I see it should be a comma here. I suppose, how do you feel is the best way to find the Lord's will in some important matters? I tell you, dear friend, the best way to find the will of God in some important matters in life. If you go to the next slide. Now, let me, here's a wonderful little thing. If you have a matter that's very important, now, young people, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have a matter that's very important, listen to what the prophet says. Now, there's the way I do it. I take it before the Lord. It's always been my strength. I wait upon the Lord and see what he says. And I just let myself neutral to it. I don't take either side and say, now, Heavenly Father, it can and it can. And he's really just showing our human nature, because when we have something that we're praying about, whoever we are, you know that maybe you want to go a certain way with it. Amen. That's just our human nature. You know, Lord, I'm laying this out before you, but you know, in your mind or in your heart, maybe you want to go a certain way about it. But Brother Branham had this strength, and he types this out, and he says, if you get completely neutral on the subject, it doesn't matter what it is, small or big. If you get completely neutral and you're willing to let the Lord actually speak to you, because what happens oftentimes is we can take a subject to the Lord and we have a way that we already want to go with it, amen? And so then we're going to try to justify every which way to go that specific direction. I mean, we're going to push and pry and try and do everything we can to go that way, but God wants us to be neutral on it, because maybe we've offered two ways and he wants you to go a third way, amen? Maybe he shows you three ways and there's the fourth way. You know, God sees everything. Amen. He knows our life. He knows every which way that we're going to go, every decision we're going to make, all of those things. So sometimes we have these decisions that we need to make, or we have these paths we're trying to take, or we have, you know, we're praying about something. This is how we have to do it. He says, get yourself neutral on the subject, no matter how hard it is. That actually in and of itself can take prayer. Lord, you have to maybe even come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be neutral on this subject. Maybe you have someone that you're young people that you're interested in. I want to get neutral on the subject. Lord, I really want to go with this person, but I'm going to get neutral. I want to go with whoever you want me to go with. Amen. I want God's choice on the matter. I don't want my choice, because God sees your future. Amen. And that's who you want to help you make the decision. Amen. Go to the next slide for me, slide 12. It says, course now, in my case, most of the time, wow, it's 10:53. If it's very important, I wait on a vision, but many people, God doesn't deal with in visions, so therefore I wouldn't advise you to do that. So I don't know if any of you see visions, but I wouldn't advise, unless you're a prophet, to do it that way. Because it's just some people that has visions and does it that way. When you do something else that I couldn't do, maybe is in your way of serving the Lord, God deals with us different. Next slide, slide 13. And so if I was in your place, I wouldn't have visions from before the Lord. I would just wait upon the Lord and say, Lord, now you show me what the decision is to make. And then that's the way that you feel led to do it. Then wait just a little bit, then wait a little bit longer and see which way, which side you lean towards. And he says, now which way the Spirit? Now, Father, in my heart, you know, it doesn't matter, but I want you to know about it. And then he goes on to discern. This is important, friends, because then he goes on to discern the spirit of so many people's questions regarding this matter. Because what happens in this situation is you get yourself in a situation where you don't know the answer and you cannot find the will of the Lord. Amen. Who's ever been in that? You're praying about it. You're waiting, and then you've waited, and then you've waited, and Lord, I don't know exactly what to do. And he says, Brother Branham says, you know, that everybody's had that question before. He says, what if I chose the wrong thing? What if I'm not sure and I chose the wrong thing? That's the way he says I do about meetings sometimes. I feel kind of led to go this way or that way. Then I'll follow that way. That's the best way to do it. Because it's in prayer then that you're doing the best you can. And I believe this, my friends, as Paul was in the New Testament, was days gone by. He was between two straits, which way he would go, and he started on the wrong road, and he got to the Macedonian call. And I believe if you're making a decision for God and you do it the best that you can, I believe God will correct you. And don't see that you don't go wrong. I believe God will do it. You're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to take paths that you messed up. But I believe if you're a son or daughter of God, God will correct you. So if you're not sure, you know, type it out, wait on the Lord. But if you're not sure, make the decision. And then if God is in your life, then he will correct you in what you're going to do. Amen. He will show you the way. He will show you the path. Amen. He will make it clear to you. You just have to be willing to see it from his angle. Amen. And it's a, just a beautiful place to be as a believer, completely neutral on the subject, ready and willing to go whichever way the Lord leads you. Amen. Willing to go either way, whichever way. Amen. Then God can really do a work in your life. Just in my closing comments, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Proverbs 9 teaches that. And that word fear speaks of reverence. Amen. And I believe, in many cases, I believe that we fear the Lord, we reverence the Lord enough to save us from our sins, enough to help us when we're in trouble, enough to do these things. But if true wisdom only starts in the Bible, what the Bible says, if it only starts in fear and reverence of him, then that shows us that our wisdom in this life starts when we're able to respect God enough to make our decisions in our life. It, no matter how big, no matter how small, if you're willing to, if you're weighing something, you're willing to let him make that decision. Amen. We're sometimes so, and I'm speaking to myself, sometimes we're so stubborn in a certain situation. You want to go a certain way because you feel like this is the leadership of the Lord. But then God shows you that's not the leadership of the Lord. You need to go this way with it. Well, I'm stubborn and I feel maybe I need to go this way. You need to be willing to let God show you, amen, to let God lead you in all things. And really, that's just the beginning of wisdom, amen. Glory to God. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word, Lord. We pray that you just minister to us, Lord, from your servant, Lord, as we, Father, go and move into the service. I pray for the musicians, the song leader, Lord God. We just open up our hearts, Lord. I just want to receive something from you. We love you and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.